Chase and Big Joe broadcasting from the Spring Hill Heating and Cooling Game Nashville Studios, keeping your home feeling comfortable all year round, as we do every Wednesday at 9:30. Must listen. John McClain joins us now from Houston. John, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing great, guys. How are you?
Doing fantastic. Always appreciate the time with you. So we were just debating this. I guess the reports are General Manager Rand Carthon not currently at the Senior Bowl, and I don't really think that's that big of a deal. He may go later in the week. He's got people down there. The Titans are represented down at the Senior Bowl. Do you find it to be a big deal that a GM isn't at every event with the Senior Bowl, or is that something that they should probably be at?
No, because everything is taped. They can get every single workout, get the game. I remember Gary Kubiak when he was here. Gary, he liked to talk to people, look them in the eye, ask them certain questions, and you do that in one-on-one meetings, and you don't get those over at the Senior Bowl. You get them at the combine for 15 minutes. You can get tape anywhere to watch players. And so, no, I don't think it's important. Plus, he's got trusted assistants over there to relay things back to him, and they're going to see him at the combine. They're going to see him, and if they like him, they'll bring him in there for their 30 visits. Then if they like him, they can go, they'll go to their pro days. They can have private workouts with him. So, no, I do not think it's a big deal.
So I guess the other rumor is that Bobby Slowick has agreed to a new contract with the Texans. So it looks like he's going to remain in Houston as the offensive coordinator.
Yeah, he was always going to be here. He interviewed for jobs. He wasn't ready to be a head coach to call plays. If you're going to have a guy as a head coach who's only called plays 1 year, that's not enough experience to me, even though Slowick did a tremendous job. You know, I just think you need another year like so many other coordinators do. And usually when you hear, and he never had a thing like Ben Johnson where he's removed his name. Usually they're told you, thank you, but you're not one of our candidates anymore. And then they'll say, well, I'm coming back because I love being a coordinator. You know, in Bobby Slowick's case, he didn't get a job. And so the Texans, in fairness, gave him a new contract. They gave their quarterback coach, Deron Johnson, who did a tremendous job with C.J. Stroud, gave him a new contract as well to reward them for a job well done and the fact that those guys were being pursued, Slowick for head coaching jobs and Johnson for coordinator jobs. So, and I didn't think Johnson was ready either. His first year, he'd been a quarterback coach. So I think next year, Slowick will be gone and Deron Johnson can be elevated to offensive coordinator.
Yeah, that's the thing, John. I mean, all the outrage, like, why would not Ben Johnson go be a head coach? You know, maybe he just didn't want to be, right?
Or he was told, thanks, but we're going in a different direction. And then he's put it out. Well, he's decided to come back and be a coordinator. No, he's interviewed for jobs. He interviewed here, oh, gosh, Joe, last year, and when they knew they were going to hire DeMeco, but they said Ben Johnson was great in his interview.
What do you make that Seattle and Washington still are out there with looking for head coaches? Now, can they not hire a head coach till after the Super Bowl?
Well, it depends on who they're wanting to hire. You know, the league doesn't want you doing things during Super Bowl week to distract from it, but sometimes teams do. Now, if they want to wait till hire somebody after the Super Bowl, one of the coordinators, sure, they could do it. Ben Johnson, everybody said, was going to Washington until he didn't. And I always thought Bill Belichick would have been ideal for Washington. Don't know if he'd wanted to go there. They got a lot of cooks in that kitchen. And with Josh Harris, the controlling owner, saying he wants the minor partners to be a part of it, well, that's asking for trouble. With Magic Johnson tweeting after games whether he thinks the team played well or poorly. Bob Myers, great GM of the Warriors, he got a job, and his is permanent. So that's just a lot going on for a guy like Belichick who wants a lot of control. But the reason I say that, you know, he was born in Nashville, but he grew up in Annapolis where his dad was assistant coach at Navy forever. And Belichick loves history. He loves everything about history. And what city has more history than Washington, D.C.? So I just thought it would be a good one, but they didn't interview him. And now I can't wait to see what they're going to do. There's nobody from the Chiefs, I don't think, who's in the running for a job. Now, Mike McDonald is the defensive coordinator, 36, been a coordinator 2 years for the Ravens. You know, he's been getting interviews. I'd love to see Seattle get Mike Vrabel because they've got a really good running game. They got all pieces in place for the quarterback. You know, maybe they'll go with Geno Smith again. But if you don't draft somebody you think has a chance to develop, you know, the Seahawks had a winning record. You know, it's hard to get a quarterback like that. Not impossible, as the 49ers have showed, but it's a really deep draft for quarterbacks, and there's probably going to be 5 or 6 taken in the first round.
Were you surprised Seattle, that job is still open?
Yep. The owner's not involved. It's all John Schneider, GM. He didn't have final say when Pete Carroll was there. Now he has final say. So I'm sure he wants to be thorough and talk to as many people as he can. But there's no reason not to hire somebody this week. I think one or both of those jobs will be filled by the end of the week, unless they're waiting on one of the coordinators with a Super Bowl team.
So, John, I thought that Dan Quinn would have a really good shot at that job because of his history there and, you know, his stock being so high. But do you think that playoff game really hurt his stock and maybe he you know, is going to miss out in this coaching cycle?
He could. I thought the same thing, Chase, that he was there for, was it 5 or 6 years working with Pete Carroll? He's a natural. You know, usually you don't go defensive coordinator to offensive coordinator. And Pete Carroll was a defensive coordinator. I mean, you usually do go the opposite side of the ball. And Dan Quinn being another defensive coordinator, I think if Quinn came there, maybe they have some reservations about being more of the Pete Carroll way, although I don't know why anything would be bad. I mean, even when he got fired, they had a winning record, and he did a tremendous job overall. And it could be that if you're going to hire Quinn, you want to make it look like you've talked to a lot of other people, and you have, and after a lot of consternation, it was clear to you that Dan is the best candidate for the job, rather than just hiring him and bringing him in and people, why didn't you talk to other candidates? My God, didn't you watch that Dallas playoff game? So in the whole scheme of things, people are going to talk about it, write about it, but one bad game doesn't make for a bad coach, especially one who took a team to the Super Bowl and should have won, except for a miracle comeback by Tom Brady.
Now, you know how this works. We don't know every little thing, but I know that in our conversations that you and I have both felt that if Vrabel did leave the Titans, he'd have a job in 5 minutes, and that hasn't been the case. So do you think that that stuff has come out maybe behind the scenes that, you know, whatever, or is it more him of he can be picky because he knows that Amy's got to pay him and he could take a year off?
Yeah, I don't know. I would imagine Mike wants to work, but I don't know. It could be that there's not a job he wants. It could be that he interviewed and they took somebody else. I think Atlanta would have been a great job for Vrabel because they got 2 running backs, knowing how Mike likes to run the ball, control the clock, play good defense. They got everything but a quarterback, but they have the 8th overall pick. They'll have a shot to get one after the top 3 if that's what they want to do, or try to sign a veteran like Kirk Cousins. So I don't have any idea what's going on with Vrabel. I thought he would have had a job. I can't even remember how many he's interviewed for. But if you don't want to do it now, I'd love to see Vrabel on TV with his personality in a studio disagreeing with people. But I don't have any idea if that's what Mike wants to do.
Well, that same thing about, to kind of transition, you know, Tom Brady's making the big move next year to be an analyst. You know, John, you remember when Joe Montana did this, he lasted a year because he just didn't like criticizing his, you know, quarterbacks and guys that he knew well. How do you see Brady filling in this role?
One thing we know Brady will do, he's under a lot of pressure because Greg Olsen's really good. Everybody thinks Greg Olsen is really good. Now, not only is Olsen being demoted, and he knew this was coming a year ago, he's taking a huge pay cut. And that's a bad double whammy when you do both. So whenever his contract's up, I'm sure the other networks are going to pursue him. Now, Brady, you know he's working like crazy. I saw him pushing some product on Pat McAfee yesterday, and he was talking about how hard he's working, how much he's putting into the broadcast. I thought Troy Aikman would be like Joe Montana. No opinion, terrible, because he was pablum throughout his career. People covered him, said, oh, man, there's no way Troy is going to be any good. And then Aikman's been great because he's not afraid. You don't have to take cheap shots to be opinionated, you know, to be negative. As long as you're pointing something out when somebody does something wrong, you don't go, oh, my God, that's a terrible play. You just say, hey, he made a mistake, a bad play. He should have done this. That's what you want is, I want it like Tony Romo used to be. He would say, now, look here, I think this is going to happen, and it happened.
Yeah.
And now he doesn't do that. I don't know if he's not watching as much tape. He's not talking as many people.
I think they told him not to, which is dumb.
But he's not as good as he was. Now, Brady, you know, nobody will outwork Brady.
Yeah.
But a lot of people don't think he'll be good. I look at him more like Aikman. I think he will be opinionated, not in a cheap shot manner, but I think he'll be just like Greg Olsen. He'll point out things that are going to happen, and he will point out things that happened and deserve criticism or praise.
Well, and I think this is an interesting conversation because we had it earlier this week that you got guys where I don't think Gronk has really been who we thought he would be on TV yet. I think J.J. Watt does a really nice job and should probably have a larger role with what he's doing with CBS. And so, you know, with Brady now available, you mentioned Vrabel. I think Vrabel would be excellent at it. I think Belichick would actually do a good job with it and show a different side of himself. So with that said, is it time for these networks to look at the Terry Bradshaws and Jimmy Johnsons and you know, guys that have been there for a really long time and maybe start to transition them out because they have options with, you know, guys that are removed from the game in the last year or two?
Well, they have those Q ratings where they test popularity, and no matter what we think of people as broadcasters, what the public thinks, not what we think, because they can withstand the criticism. And usually they add, you know, those not booths, but those sets are getting way too long. You got to use wide action to get them in there.
I know.
And I think J.J. Watt could have a bigger role if he wanted. I don't think he wanted it in his first year out of football being a new dad. And I think I'm partial to him, but I think he's great. Thing about Belichick, I've seen Bill Belichick behind the scenes when he wasn't talking about himself or the Patriots, and he's outstanding. He's great at analysis. He's great at opinion. And I was on the Centennial Hall of Fame committee with him. There were 10 of us from the regular selection committee with all these guys from the NFL, like Belichick, John Madden, Ron Wolf, Bill Polian, Gil Brandt, and talking about players back to the 20s. We had conference calls every Friday during the season, and listening how hard Belichick worked on that and spending 2 days in Canton with him when we voted, he'd be tremendous. There was a football life with him and Saban,
yep,
and they were tremendous. That's why somebody brought up the coach cast, like the Manning cast, and have those two talking. What I don't like about the Manning cast, I don't want to see the guest. I quit watching. I want to see Peyton and Eli going at it. I don't want to hear people talking about the game. But in that case, I sure wish if they do it, it would just be Belichick and Saban. I would listen to that constantly.
Yeah, I would too. That would be a great idea. We'll have more with John McClain coming up next here on the Chasing Big Joe Show, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, continuing our conversation with John McClain from Houston. And, John, with the Super Bowl set between the Chiefs and the 49ers, I am curious, do you feel like that there is a chance that Andy Reid might be coaching his final game, or is that all just a rumor that we're just going to have to hear until it finally does happen whenever he decides?
Now, what do we think Andy's going to do? Play golf, play tennis, eat cheeseburgers for a living? He's a football coach.
Nuggies. He wants nuggies.
He's got a chance with Mahomes to end up as all-time winningest coach, and he's already going to the Hall of Fame. And right now, why would he walk away from a good thing? Every year, he's going to be a contender for the Super Bowl, and it'll be well-deserved. So, no, I haven't thought for a second. About 3 or 4 years ago at the Combine, he was about to do his interview at a podium with the media, and I was sitting on the side of the podium, and he sat next to me, and he said, how much longer are you going to do this? I said, I don't know. I said, I'm not going to have him carry me out. What about you? He said, well, they may have to carry me out. I love it. Not all coaches, they don't want to retire. They're retired by other bosses. And so, no, I don't think for a second Andy Reid is walking away. It's a media concoction.
I had one of the – and, in fact, I think you were standing there when this happened at the Combine 4 or 5 years ago. We were there. Floyd was there. And we had set – Floyd – I say we. Floyd had gotten it set up where Andy was going to come on and Bill O'Brien was going to come on. And they showed up at pretty much the same time. So I'm standing there freaking out like, oh, no, what do we do? You know, do we put them on at the same time? Like, how does this work? And so Bill had sat down first, and they had kind of started the interview. And, you know, PR guys are trying to keep their coaches on schedule and stuff. And so he kind of looks at me and goes, well, we may have to bail. And Andy turns around, looks at him, and looks at me and goes, no, we're good. I'll wait on Floyd. Let him finish with Bill, and then we'll jump on. And that was
Andy
it.
Andy Reid is such a first-class act. He always has been. Who doesn't love Andy Reid? Everybody loves Andy Reid. It's amazing. Before he got Patrick Mahomes, which, of course, was one of the greatest trades in history, before he got him, you know, Andy was looked at as a guy who's a really good coach who had problems with clock management and game management. If you ask him about it, he had a short fuse. Now, nobody talks about Andy's issues. Did he just get smarter? No, he got Patrick Mahomes.
That's so great. Then he wins the Super Bowl, and he's a genius. And, John, we had this discussion yesterday because it was a 24-year anniversary of the Titans playing in the Super Bowl. And the question to you, it's the great what if. I mean, what in your perspective of covering the NFL, living in Houston, how would the dynamic have changed had the Titans won that Super Bowl 24 years ago, do you think?
Well, it'd been the first one in franchise history. I know that. The last time we had a championship game in Houston was involving the Houston team was the Oilers after the 79 season in Pittsburgh, and we haven't had one since. And I'm so jealous of the Chiefs because they've been to six in a row. But if they won one, I think it would have just like, you know, the Rams won one. So people still talk about those Rams teams mainly because of their offense. And as great as it was, and mainly because of big play at the end of the game, and which was one of the biggest plays in Super Bowl history. But it's certain the narrative would have changed instead of, oh, yeah, the Titans went to Super Bowl. When was it? Oh, they lost the greatest show on turf, where if you win it, boy, remember that Titans Super Bowl after the 99 season?
Yeah, I mean, it would have been something. We like to play the what-if game all the time up here on the show. John, what's the first Super Bowl you covered?
Gosh, I think it was 1979 or 80. The best what-if in history to me is what if Jets linebacker Mo Lewis had not hit Patriots quarterback Drew Bledsoe and knocked him out for a bunch of games in 2001, forcing second-year former sixth-round pick Tom Brady into the lineup. What if Lewis had missed the tackle? Bledsoe was healthy. Bledsoe was their best player. He was acknowledged as their team leader. Would Brady have ever played? Would his contract have expired and they let him go and he goes to another team? That's, to me, the greatest what if ever.
I agree with that because what we know about Tom Brady, there's no piece of me that thinks that he wouldn't have, you know, like you mentioned earlier, nobody outworks Brady. That, like, he wouldn't have figured out how to make it another way. But we'll never know. Like, it's just you have to get the opportunity first, and he made the most of it.
One of the players on that team, Ted Johnson, who won three Super Bowls, he was a five-year veteran, a leader of the defense. In Brady's rookie year, nobody thought anything about him other than the fact when he'd get to go in the huddle at practice, he would be so excited and fired up. And they say, hey, look, settle down. It's just practice. And the other thing was all the wives wanted to sit around him at team parties. They called him Tommy. And one time Ted Johnson's wife said, well, it was so much fun talking to Tommy. And he's like, Tommy, who's Tommy? Tommy Brady. Tommy Brady, that rookie? Oh, he's so cute. Everybody loves him. And so that was what he was to them. And then they all thought, even though he did well, that Belichick would go back to Bledsoe. And when he didn't, the whole team was shocked. And, of course, it turned out to be one of the smartest moves in history.
Yes, it is. I will get into it next week, a lot of the Super Bowl talk with all that big going. But before we go, though, I wanted to get your thoughts real quick. Arthur Smith got a job or going to get a job for the Steelers as offensive coordinator. And, John, the backlash reading all the Steeler fans, like, he's a terrible head coach. I mean, the fact that he was a really good offensive coordinator, how do you weigh the two if you're a Steeler fan on this hire?
Well, those same Steeler fans went ballistic when they were about to name guard Russ Grimm an assistant coach on their team head coach. And at the last minute, the Rooney family met this kid from Tampa, Mike Tomlin, who'd only been a coordinator 1 year, and hired him. And everybody, how can you hire a head coach who's only been a coordinator 1 year? And look how that worked out. The Rooneys don't make a lot of mistakes. Tomlin, now he has. And the Rooneys, they sign off on all these big hires like that. So I think people would be more inclined to look back to the way it was with the Titans, not the way it was with the Falcons. But we know this. Steelers have two running backs. They like to run the ball. So Arthur's going to be in charge of that offense. Mike Tomlin will leave it up to him, and he will build it around the running game. But will his quarterback be Kenny Pickett? He will going in, but then will he try to sign Ryan Tannehill as a free agent? So there's a lot of questions at the most important position.
Yes, indeed. John, great stuff as always. We love these conversations, and we'll talk to you next week for the Super Bowl.
I look forward to it, guys. Thank you very much. You'll have a great trip.
Awesome. Thank you. John McClain joining us here on the program, as he always does every Wednesday at 9:30. There are allegations, once again, against the University of Tennessee. We will discuss those next here on the Chase and Big Joe Show, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.